Okay. If you want, you go ahead and be turning to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. That's where our lesson is going to be coming from this morning. If you're having trouble finding it, I'll give you a little hint. It's after 1 Chronicles. A few weeks ago, I did a lesson from Ahab and some of the things that we can learn from him. And I had mentioned that the things written before were written for our learning. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 15th chapter, the 4th verse. And there in particular, we were learning the great danger of marrying outside of the Lord. Ahab paid an awful stiff price for doing that. And we often find the same as well when Christians do that as well. This lesson is going to be from another Old Testament character, and his name is Uzziah. And if I was to give this lesson a title, it would be this: The Weakness of Strength. The Weakness of Strength. You might remember a few years ago, I actually did a lesson called The Strength of Weakness, based off of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when I am weak, then I am strong. And we learned lessons. Paul learned lessons through trials that he would have never really learned unless he went through those trials and experienced the thorn in the flesh. And we learned there that when we are hurt, sometimes physically or even emotionally, that can actually be to our spiritual well-being. As we then lean more upon the Lord, recognizing that He is the strength for us to carry us through. But I was thinking that if it is true that there is strength and weakness, then it would also be true that there is a weakness in strength. A weakness in strength. That's illustrated a number of times in Scripture. I could have used all sorts of Bible characters to prove this point. Think about, for example, the downfall of Goliath, or that of Solomon, or the downfall of Samson, or the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar, or of Belshazzar, or the downfall of Rome. On and on we could go. It's why the Lord even says how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's all tied together. There's this inherent strength, or this inherent weakness in strength. And so we need to be warned of that and have our minds prepared for that. Because when you think about that concept of being rich, every one of us that lives in this great country, in comparison to the rest of this world, are rich men and women. Uzziah is one that fell when he was strong, and he is a tragedy. He is a tragedy. After years of usefulness and had the ability to leave a legacy behind, it would have been one of the greatest kings that ever been for Judah. Rather, his legacy speaks that of failure. 30, 40 years of a solid reputation. And in 20, 30, 40 minutes, he completely destroys and undermines his whole life of work. And does that still happen today? I suggest to you it still does. Uzziah was powerful. He was decisive and exercised visionary leadership over the house of Israel. All those things are praiseworthy things. But when it came to a particular time, he began to think that his ability and strength, his help, came from himself. I am the master of my own fate, he began to think. And how against that was everything that he knew and was raised. We might even say his name was a great indicator of who he should have been. Uzziah means the Lord, my strength. And oh, how he believed that the majority of his life. At age 16, he's elevated to chief in command. Notice there, verse 1, it says, "Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And he built Elath and restored it to Judah, and after the kings rested with his fathers." After this, the king rested. And Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king and reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. A good long reign he had. He does good because at such a young stage he believed in what his name taught and what it preached. In national security and military might, he was brilliant beyond comparison. In agriculture, he was without match. Look at some of his accomplishments, verse 9 and 10. And then Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock. And built in the lowlands and the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. He was a king who knew the land, and he had actually affection for particular soils. He was a jack of all trades, we might say. He was a man of great ability, could wear different hats and do good with each one of them. Yeah, he was one of those boys. We all grew up with one of those, right? One of those annoying ones because of how they really made us look when you think about it. They would be the ones that would ace the exam, the chemistry exam at school. And then in speech class, they'd be able to get up and speak with such poise and confidence. They commanded the room with their confidence. And then Jim, you know, they were the guy that everybody wanted on their team. He always excelled. He would take on contests. He wasn't really sure he wanted to do them, and then he'd win them. Uzziah had that kind of ability. By any standard, he was a remarkable young man. Now, those individuals are often a bit problematic for teachers because they stand out from the other students. It's hard to teach them and to lead them when you have to help 30 other students that are a little bit behind. And in time, companies look for those particular individuals to recruit them, to use them. And parents want their child to be this kind of child, whether their child is that child or not. I'm here to tell you, let all parents be warned. With great ability comes great responsibility and great accountability, and therefore great humility is necessary. You know, meekness is a trait that many of us don't put at the very top of our priority list to train our children in. To be meek. What do? We push them to excel. We encourage them, keep going. And that's fine. That's good. If and only if we also teach them humility and meekness alongside of it. Else we just inflate their ego, tell them how good they are, how smart they are, how wonderful they are. And if that's all they hear, then it goes to the head. And we could in time perhaps create little Uzziahs in our home. And we have to understand that there is a weakness inherent in strength. So let's look at some things here in 2 Chronicles 26. Some factors here that made Uzziah who he was. There in verse 3 we see he was 16 years old when he became king, reigned 52 years, had a lot of power at such a young age, but he was a remarkable man. Now here's the reason why. Verse 4 tells us that he had the right standard. Verse 4 says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And according to all that his father Amaziah had done, he was one that had the right standard. He sought to do things right according to the eyes of the Lord. And how great a contrast it is with some of the judges in Judges 21:25, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, he was a man with high standards for himself, the highest of standards, and that is God's standard. When I think of him here in the early years, I think of what the psalmist said in the very first psalm and who that blessed man was. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." That was Uzziah. Whatever he does shall prosper. So he was a man with the right standard in life. But we also see that he was one, verse 5, it says that he sought God. He sought God as well. So he was a seeker of God. He searched for God. And Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I recall of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, where he says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So Uzziah here at the beginning was one, if you were to spend time with him, you could tell he cared about God. He cared about what God thought about because he was a seeker of God. So the question comes to you and I. Are you a seeker of God? Searching His truths every day? Further, we notice in the second half of verse 5, it says that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. If you have the English Standard Version, it says, Zechariah who instructed him in the fear of God. And so we would say here that Uzziah was one that was under instruction. Again, there in terms of his standing before God, he knew his place and he needed God's knowledge. Zechariah there instructed him in the fear of God. The fear of God. Why would that be important? Well, if you're going to be a king, you need to be wise. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Friends, that's what I want to do with my children. And I hope that's what you want to do with your children. I mean, they'll get all the how-tos of life. They'll get those in time. But they need the fear of God. They must have that. And I think that's what's interesting here. Before it talks about all of his accomplishments and how great he was and what he's going to do, it didn't say, well, he had all the greatest teachers in all these various things. He had the greatest history teacher and he had the greatest science teacher and the greatest math teacher. No, he was instructed in the fear of God. My children will get the how-tos of life eventually, but this has got to come first. God has to be the foundation. The rest will come in time. Especially the kind of wisdom and knowledge that you want them to have. That is God-centered. I mean, that's how they begin to then view all of life through that prism that has been set up. That you desire to serve God with your lives and to glorify Him. So when they get to the how-to of hard work, what do they think? I work hard because I work for God. See? When it comes to the how-to of studying hard, well, I want to work hard, and that's my work when I'm a student. Honesty. I live before God, therefore I'm honest in all my dealings. Friends that I have. I first am a friend of God. See how the how-tos of life are answered first in Scripture. And Uzziah got this. And this is how God allowed him to prosper. Think about this list. It's a pretty good list, don't you think? He had the right standard. He sought God. He was under instruction. Friend, do you fulfill this list? Do you do what is right? Do you seek God? Are you under instruction and look for opportunities? I mean, we realize that we come to services and that's one portion where we get instruction. What about our own personal studies? Well, we open up God's Word and we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant listens." And we begin to study that Word. Most of you are aware that I have a couple of studies during the week, and usually it's with the newer converts to help them understand God's Word more fully. And what's been encouraging is that some of you have just said, "Hey, you mind if I sit in and join in?" And it's been neat just to have some others. And it helps those new converts get to know other members of the congregation as well. And last Monday, we had counted 7 individuals there at a new convert study. It's encouraging to see people that want to be under the instruction of God's Word. Now, verse 5 goes on to say, though, that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. So you get the idea that it's coming to an end. As long as he sought. Oh, how many times have you seen that as well? I've seen the refreshment of serving the Lord and how it brings a heart that maybe had been laden or given over to worldly cares. And they get back what is important in life and they're encouraged and zealous again. They're joyous again. They feel good about the direction that life is heading again as long as they seek the Lord. Right? As long as. And then some decision comes. Some new thing is introduced in their life. Some competing commitment comes along their way and they stop serving the Lord or they dial it back a bit. And they're in that predicament again where they're struggling with their faith and their service. If only we can learn the lessons of Isaiah. Put God first and the rest takes care of itself. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So let's now look next at the accomplishments that he was able to undertake because of God's help. Now when we talk about these accomplishments, and notice how God made him prosper, we're not talking about it, God miraculously making him prosper. Does that mean that God wasn't intervening? Oh, of course he was. But providentially. It's kind of as Brother Richard was commenting in class. There's a distinction between the two. God is behind this all. God intervenes every day. But it's not miraculously here. We see providentially he is taking care of Uzziah all the way. So what happens? What does he accomplish with God's help? Well, verse 6, it says, "Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneth, the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines." God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur, Bel, and against the Midianites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. Listen to verse 8. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. So, he was helped. He became very strong, the Bible says. Now, verse 9 and 10 we read earlier. There it shows that God helped him with his architecture abilities. And in verse 10 there, his agricultural abilities were also stand out as well. Verses 11 through 13 speaks of his military might. He was like General Patton in some ways, a genius at organizing a formidable force. Verse 14 here, you learn more about his mind and his ability to create new weapons of war. Teamed up with those that were inventors, he made these things. Verse 14 says, Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped. Notice that. Marvelously helped. God providentially was leading him along, taking care of him, making these ways possible till he became strong. That's what the Word of God says. He forgot the one who made it all possible. They often say that the spoils go to the victor. That the victors write history. We know that those that often are marvelously helped in terms of military are often the most powerful countries, the most powerful nations. See our nation currently at this time in the scheme of history. And here he invented these new arsenals to be used, a new arsenal to be used. And his fame spread. However, no gun, no grenade, no flamethrower, no weapon can fight for you as God can fight for you. And he forgot God. He forgot God. The thing that marked him eventually marred him. His strength. Because there is a weakness. in strength. He forgot about that. And let me tell you, nations forget about that. Let me tell you, churches forget about that. Let me tell you, families forget about that. What do we think? Bigger is better. To be successful is to be stronger. And somewhere along the line, God is forgotten and self is exalted. And we see what trouble we find ourselves in today quite often. For example, a family begins to think we've served God well, we've done well for God, we are strong. And then they put their faith in cruise control. And what they fail to realize, I mean, they think, oh, I don't need to do personal studies anymore. I don't need home study. We don't need to get our family together around to study anymore. We don't need to do songs together as a family like we used to do when they were children. Putting faith in cruise control and in their self-confidence, their faith loses steam and slowly dies. Why do you think sometimes, I mean, we've heard a number of occasions where a preacher there in his 50s or 60s studied all his life and then begins preaching a false doctrine. Begin to think too highly of themselves and their opinions. Or a church grows larger and forgets who's the one that gave the increase. And they what? They praise the preacher. I've even asked that before. Wow, this is great. And someone said, well, you know why we're here? Point to the man. That's why you're here? Or the elders. Or some program. Or a building. No. 1 Corinthians 3, very clear. God gives the increase. May we ever realize our nothingness. May we ever say, as David says, what is man that you're mindful, even mindful of him? Friend, here is a great secret. Know your place, and you'll keep your place. Strength. There is strength in weakness. Because then we realize God is in control. It's not our might. We have no place for glory. And we've all seen it though before, that fella. He's given the warnings. What his actions may lead to, it's going to prove hazardous. And then he gets overconfident, right? I mean, every person that begins to drive with their knees was at one time at that little training school, hands gripping that steering wheel, white knuckles, you know what I mean? And somewhere along the line, it got easier. Hey, I'm pretty good. No hands. And what do you find out? Eventually they hit a tree somewhere. You see, pride gives you the false security that it was all right one time, it'll be all right the second time, seemed to be all right the third time, surely it'll be all right the fourth time. Boom. Wrong. May we remember there's a weakness in strength. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. So what happened? Well, Uzziah, when he became strong, the Bible says he became unfaithful to the Lord God. And God gave him warnings. Look at verse 16. It says there, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. So we saw there in verses 10 through 15 how he became stronger and stronger and stronger as he went along life's line. The Lord prospered him. You know another one in the Bible was strong? His name was David. David was strong too. But David and Uzziah had two different views of their strength. Remember, David was the one that said, what is man that you're even mindful of him? They had two different views about strength. And so understand, this lesson is not to say that it's wrong to be strong. That would be foolish. It's how are we when we are strong? Our attitude towards that strength. David and Uzziah had two different attitudes towards it. You can see, and you see that in our life today as well, don't we? Someone that thinks too highly of themselves, the way in which they carry themselves, the way in which they talk to you. And then we also see those that have been exalted, we might say, to a degree, and yet there's this spirit of humility about them. They know their place, and so therefore they keep their place. Hold your place here in 2 Chronicles 26. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here, Paul warns Timothy about that attitude factor. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, back up to verse 1, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be," notice, "lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good." Notice verse 4, "traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." So these individuals had an abundance, they had strength, they had money. However, he says they placed their attitude in it, became lovers of it, and therefore, he says in verse 5, "having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Turn away. So be careful, right? This lesson shows that attitude can change when we find ourselves in a position of strength. And if we think it from just a monetary standpoint, again, all of us in this country are strong. So we must be careful. Uzziah's attitude changed when he found himself in this state and began to think there's nothing too great for him. So turn back to 2 Chronicles 26 and read the second half of verse 16. It says, "He transgresses against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." You might say, wait a second, how's that a transgression? He's wanting to worship God. Yes, he is, but in his own way. He was king. Yes, he was a talented man. Yes, he was a national hero, but he was not a priest. And God had made express mandate that only priests could do this particular thing. And Uzziah knew that. If he was under the instruction of Zechariah, he knew that. You know, every apostasy is traced back to this particular thought. I know what God says, but I'll do something else because I want something else. We dethrone God and enthrone self and thus serve idols of our own making. I mean, do we see that? I mean, that's what takes place even today. Now, verse 17, verse 18, here you see the mercy of God. God's not done with Uzziah yet. He just doesn't just, you know, kick him out or strike him dead instantly. What does he do? Verse 17. "So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah, and said, 'It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God.'" You say, "Hey, where's God's mercy? I didn't see that." It was right there in the warning. There were men there that knew the Word of God and warned him again. Don't do this, Uzziah. Stay away from that, Uzziah. So God gives him a way out. Even still, though he had gone to this point of transgression, there was still a way of escape, wasn't there? The priests confront him. Does he take the way of escape? Maybe the better question is, do we? Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 there makes it pretty clear, verse 12 and 13, that God provides us all a way of escape from temptation. I'll just read it to you real quickly. 1 Corinthians 10, there, verse 12, therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. There's Uzziah, right? There could be us. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, there was the way of escape for Uzziah. And there's the way of escape for you and I. Do we take it? Well, Uzziah didn't. He thinks, he's angry at the priest. I take care of you. I'm the one that's given this great kingdom. I protect you. I keep you. And so he presses forward. He presses on. Let me pause to say this. You know when... There's times when it's, and it's sad, I've visited places where you can see that they're still reeling from the effects of it. When adultery happens in a congregation, do you understand by that time that it's taken place? God has already providentially given many, many, many warnings to those individuals. They hear His Word. They hear His Word and are providentially warned every week. They're told to turn before they pass the point of no return. And instead of saying, God, thank you for saving me, for warning me, I almost destroyed my reputation. I almost destroyed my marriage. I almost destroyed my family and my influence for Christ. And most of all, I almost sinned against Thee. Instead, they go ahead anyway and they plunge head on, disregarding all the warnings, just like Uzziah, and in 50 minutes destroy a 50-year reputation. For what? Let us remember that lesson, friends. No matter how strong and fantastic you may be, you can be taken down in 20, 30 minutes, in no time at all. Bad trade, a life's reputation for a moment of sin. And yet people make it. And then sadly, some go on to try and justify it. To pacify themselves, I'm just going to go ahead and be with this new person then. That's what I'll do. And you need to accept me with them. And then try and make churches accept them with them. And say that God accepts them with them. And they trample on God's covenant. They trample on every passage that speaks about marriage, divorce, or marriage. What they have to understand is that you can't make your own way to God. You can't make up your own marriage rules and your own marriage laws and say, God, you have to accept me. No, it doesn't work that way. Uzziah learned that. You can't make your own way to God. Doesn't matter how great you think you are. You can't. He tried to make his own way to God and he failed. He failed miserably. So friend, don't turn from God's merciful pleadings. He from Scripture speaks to you and to me because He loves us so much and wants to spare our lives from disaster. He did so much for Uzziah. Oh, if only Uzziah could do just a little bit for himself. To be humble. To be small in his own eyes. But he refused to say no to himself, like many today. So verse 19. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. So he paid the price for his pride. His strength led to weakness. You know, Napoleon was one that was strong. And in his strength, he went on to say something as foolish as this. He said that he was outside the bounds of ordinary men, and so therefore the laws of morals and wisdom do not apply to me. What? That was Uzziah. Not when he started, but when he ended. So this lesson's not for youth, is it? Not just for youth, I should say. Here's a man in his mid-50s, highly experienced, influenced, and with authority. And when a man reaches that stage, there's times where he could do strange things. I'm not talking about just buying a Harley, you know. But we call it a midlife crisis for some reason. Those strange things can lead to sinful things. I saw that in my father. And those sinful things then begin to destroy all that they ever worked for. My father has still not met my wife or ever met his grandchildren. He's not made any call to ever ask if he could. A lot of you are grandparents already. Could you imagine never seeing or knowing your grandchildren? So sad. Uzziah had a spiritual car wreck. Now, I've never had a time where I've been driving down the freeway and my tire explodes violently, thankfully. However, I've had a number of flat tires. And, you know, it's one of those things you usually get out, you go to Walmart, and you come back and you look at your tire and you're like, huh, well, how'd that happen? It's flat. Oh, now it makes sense why those people were waving me down, you know, pointing. Now I get it, you know. Because there was a long, slow leak. And by the time you get out of Walmart, it's completely flat. And I'm here to tell you with this particular thing, dear friends, it is a long, slow leak. And you had better wake up to that reality. Uzziah didn't until it was too late. And his tire, beyond flat, he was racing down the highway of life at 100 miles an hour, and it exploded. And he crashed. And his life was changed forever. Forever. Verse 21. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Uzziah, great start, lousy finish. Yes, the weakness of strength will be around till the end of time. And we pray people will learn the lesson before they have to learn the lesson. Could you imagine in your mind's eye a father walking with his son near this vicinity in which Uzziah lived? And the son asking his father, "Who lives in that cottage, Dad?" His name's Uzziah, son. He was the king. He was the king. Son, I want you to think about something the psalmist said. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Son, that's Uzziah's home. When he was strong, he forgot the Lord. And he's a lesson to us never to forget the Lord. Son, think about these words. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them and save them because He trusted in them. Because they trust in Him. And that's the lesson. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, would you like to be saved by the Lord? You can if you trust Him. How do you trust Him? That is, you take Him at His word. When the Lord says that if you die to yourself, that is, you repent of your sins, you stop living the sinful life that you've been accustomed to living, and start living according to His word, that's repentance. And then you desire to be baptized into Christ. Why? Well, because we take Him at His word. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And so if you do that this morning, you are trusted in the Lord. And as the psalmist says, He will save you. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've fallen away, maybe you've been given to this element of pride, putting your faith in cruise control, thinking life is, it's just dandy and it's always going to be that way and it's because of me, and you're forgetting the Lord, then you need to come back to Him and again place your confidence and trust and faith and strength back where it ought to be. Not in you, but in Him. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?
Who at my door is standing? Pray.